Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So we had an all-time record 46 players traded at the NBA trade deadline. And guess what? The NFL said, hold my beer. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Okubike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. First and foremost, happy Friday, everybody. Very glad that we made it. And before I get to the information, I did have a conversation with a friend that is turning 30 years old, dirty 30. And she was like, Janae, you know, I really knew I was adulting when I ate a snack in the shower. And I was like, oh gosh, I got explained this by Junior, who said he knew he was adulting when he had a beer in the shower. I just felt like, oh gosh.
Man, wait, so you're telling me that other people are eating and drinking inside the shower and then I'm not crazy for the idea of a shower beer? I'll never forget the looks on all your guys' faces when you looked at me and said, oh no, Mike, this has to be some cultural stuff right here. You out here just drinking beer in your shower.
Okay, I will say this. You're right. Okay, back to the news.
Wow.
Okay,
right. Cliff, hit the horns. Hit the horns. Yes. Victory. Let's go. All right. There we go. Now we're feeling good.
Victory is ours. Yeah, that's your favorite movie. Now, the NBA trade deadline is really cute, right? And we'll get to the big picture of the implications of what we saw with the record number of players traded yesterday. But, you know, it's crazy. When the NFL shows up, they show out. Adam Schefter, our own ESPN NFL insider, hit us today with the latest news as we approach the draft in over a month. And this was it from today. The Miami Dolphins used their latest first-round pick they received in the Texans, I believe, Laremy Tunsil trade to move around the draft board. First, they sent the number 3 overall pick to the 49ers for the number 12 overall selection and a third-round pick in 2022, plus San Francisco's first-rounders in 2022 and 2023. Next, the Dolphins sent the number 12 pick and their own first-rounder in 2022 to the Eagles for the number 6 pick and a number of other picks as well. So basically, as I said this, the best way to recap the changes are that in round one of April's draft, the 49ers moved up 9 spots to number 3, while the Dolphins dropped 3 spots to number 6, and the Eagles dropped 6 spots to number 12. So to break all of this down, Junior, this is I have a couple of questions. And first and foremost, we had our own ESPN NFL analyst, Field Yates, join us, and he highlighted the complexities. Like, if we're going to put winners and losers with all of this, it seemed like San Francisco was in a very risky position now owning the 3rd overall pick. What does this mean, not only for that pick in the quarterback-rich draft already, but also the future of Jimmy Garoppolo?
It's a very risky pick because you're essentially mortgaging your immediate future, and we know with a rookie contract for a quarterback, that's a 4 or 5 year future. And for a coach like Kyle Shanahan, maybe he's got a lot of confidence because he's never been looked at. Kind of like Sean McVay, what we talked about with him and Jared Goff. Sean McVay was never the problem. No one has looked at the situation in San Fran and thought anything ill of Kyle Shanahan. It's just been, man, they need better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Look at that defense. You've got the best play caller in the NFL. That's exactly why they've got the hubris to jump up and try and make this happen, Janae, because at the 3 spot, we talked to Field about this. You're not even guaranteed the guy you want there. So this said to me immediately, they're comfortable enough with any of the guys in that range, whatever their grades look like on Justin Fields, on Zach Wilson, on Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, they're comfortable with whoever ends up left at that spot because we could maybe not be done with movement. And I think you only get that kind of arrogance when you've got a coach that believes he's worth a few points, a few standard deviation points on your quarterback grade every time because he's that good.
Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, Janae Ogunbowale, Michael Jr. talking about the big trade when it comes to the NFL picks coming up in this NFL draft. And Junior, I kind of want to lean onto your college football analyst brain here because we're talking about the teams, but we're not necessarily talking about the players. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, we've already have that written in the stars.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the next two, how do you feel about Zach Wilson at 2 or even Justin Fields or Trey Lance when you look at the field of quarterbacks available? Clearly, a lot of teams are seeing them desirable.
Yeah, and I heard and saw from Dan Orlovsky earlier, was talking to him, and he feels like Trey Lance would be a great fit in San Francisco with the 49ers. I still look at the situation, Shanae, and I'm shocked we're not talking about Justin Fields as the second best quarterback in this year's draft, because everything we talk about Zach Wilson being able to do, I've seen Justin Fields do some version of, maybe some of the off-platform stuff, maybe some of the stuff when everything is not going right for Zach Wilson looks a little prettier. You get a lot of those Mahomes comps for that reason because he's changing arm angles all over the place. But for Justin Fields, I mean, hell, if Sam Fran, if you were lucky enough to have him, all he did at Ohio State was run and cut zone, was run bootleg plays off of that, was run all of the Shanahan stuff that's worked so well for him in the NFL, and doing it with the kind of wide-open guys you're getting in San Francisco, the way he was used to wide-open guys at Ohio State, it just feels like that combined with his size. I mean, I think more mobile than Zach Wilson in a lot of ways, certainly a better runner in that spot, Shanae. I've been a little surprised that that's been as foregone a conclusion as it's looked like since the start of this conversation.
And now that we've talked about the good, right, a lot of great quarterbacks at the top part of the, you know, top five selections when it comes to the NFL draft potentially. But now, you know, it's funny because outside of the quarterbacks, Miami has positioned themselves probably to get a receiver. Do you like that, them choosing to dig their heels in the ground possibly with Tua Tagovailoa? And then we can also get to the bad with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it's Eagles fans seem to be very, very in their feelings today, which I can understand, because if you're looking at the group in this trade, San Francisco's always going to get the benefit of the doubt. Again, because of Kyle Shanahan, they've got a better roster. Like, this is a team we all think, when they get healthy this year, is going to be Super Bowl ready. So this matters a little more. You could even say the Dolphins, Chris Greer, their GM, wins going away in this one. Like, Adam Schefter tweeted out earlier, the Dolphins essentially turned Laremy Tunsil, who they traded to Houston, into four first-round picks and a third-round pick with the wheeling and dealing that went on down there. So we can understand all of that. But yes, them digging in and going all in on Tua, Chanae, probably the right move. I mean, he's a quarterback going into his second year after getting started in a pandemic season. He's at the helm for a team that was almost a playoff team last year, that's got a ballin' defense that we know regression can come there. But if you start to build up around him and you don't wait and you don't do some of the things that we've seen other teams make this mistake on, I think of Chicago in recent memory there, not necessarily loading up on the kind of weapons outside of Allen Robinson that you'd like for a quarterback to be successful. Find out now. Get him protection at that sixth spot. You're there for the core four of the offensive players of Chase, Waddle, of Devonta Smith, and of Kyle Pitts. You can go Penei Sewell there. He might still be available if you want to protect your quarterback a little bit better. But it's about finding out answers right now. We talked about the prove-it year, Chanae, that's coming up for a bunch of quarterbacks in the NFL this season. This could be an easy way to start to get that timeline up to speed on that, and you got a first-round pick out of it next year to boot with this.
Does that include Jalen Hurts in the prove-it?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. Well, Jalen Hurts is on the, I think, short list of that, because all of what we saw here today, so the Eagles end up being the team. They were at the sixth overall pick, and there were some thoughts here that maybe you swing at a quarterback there in that spot. But then we heard Howie Roseman, their owner, come out and say, or Jeffrey Lurie, excuse me, their owner come out and say, Howie Roseman, their GM. But Jeffrey Lurie basically telling them, we want to go all in on this guy as our QB1 in this spot. The confusing part is trading back for assets is kind of, I think, just the signal that we don't believe this team's going to be very good this year. And so, yeah, you're going to still be in range for a decent receiver probably at that point. I don't know if that four group, you might have one of those guys slip down that way, Chanae. Maybe people are a little out on Devonta Smith because he's under 170 pounds. Maybe people look at Jalen Waddle and say, all right, maybe he's not as polished as the other guys and he manages to fall to 12. But you expose yourself to some risk getting out of that range right now, trying to play the long game for the future, and that's not the greatest sign for Jalen Hurts and a roster that is turning over some of its core principles and not necessarily been in the best place injury-wise for years now.
So I'm 3,000 miles away, and I watched you make eye contact with Cliff. How is he doing right now?
Not great. Yeah, Cliff, let's. I know we did Good John, Bad John earlier this week. Cliff, our Philadelphia native, proud Temple alum, Eagles fan, but not a part of the fan base because they're largely irrational in this spot. Cliff, what is the Eagles' pulse on moving back to 12?
I can't give you the Eagles' pulse because I'm not a part of the
That's
fan
right.
base.
That's right. My mistake. My mistake.
But just from what I look, how I look at it, I hate it. I'm disgusted by it. I don't like what the Eagles are doing, and they need to fire this GM right now.
There we go. I can say Cliff has been very against Howie Roseman for a while, so this isn't some new about face here. This has
very
been
bad
consistent.
John, then. Like the worst of worst Johns. Clearly.
Super bad John, Chanae. A super bad John.
We thought there were some bad moves made, and then the Eagles came in and said,
hold my beer. Oh, wow. Really?
You knew we were. Chanae, I can't tell you, as you channeled your Marshawn Lynch in that spot, how scared I was that you were not going to say beer.
Hold my beer. You know me.
And that we were all going to get fired.
Wait. I saw your face and your eyes get really big. But you know me. I'm PG. Hold my beer.
Speaking of, In celebration of Women's History Month, pay tribute to Black Queens on the Undefeated on ESPN+. Explore the athletes and coaches who have defied expectations and inspired others. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com as our very own Black Queen, Shanae Agwumike, lets everybody know to
hold my beer. Really?
You're on ESPN+. Coming up next, though, Shanae mentioned we've been so caught up in what's going on in the NFL today. Wild news, trades leading up a month out from the draft. But we did have a record-setting amount of trades in the NBA at the trade deadline yesterday. Let's explore the why next, because I think the NBA, who made a gamble and decided to make a change, is already seeing the benefits from that. We'll do that next. Shanae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Hold my beer!
Shanae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Best March Madness matchup in the NCAA tournament, period, happens tomorrow. We will tell you the two players to watch in about 10 minutes. And you know this makes me so happy. But for right now, let's head up to the pros. It's Shanae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Shanae Agwumike and Michael Jr. holding it down on this too damn Friday. Now, yesterday, though, and here's the final tally. It's been really interesting to watch that. On NBA trade deadline day, per the league, there were 16 trades, 23 teams involved, 46 roster players on the move, which means it was the most ever in each category in the past 35 years on deadline day. Now, some have pointed to, you know, teams making small but mighty moves on the NBA trade deadline day, possibly because of the play-in tournament that they have this year. We found a lot of energy entering the playoffs last year in the bubble, and now that's carried over to the play-in tournament. Now, this is how it works. The second half of the regular season will be followed by the 2021 NBA play-in tournament. That's supposed to be May 18th to the 21st. Teams with the 7th highest through the 10th highest winning percentages in each conference will qualify to determine the 7th and 8th seeds through the tournament. So, Junior, when you saw all the moves being made, some of the moves big, right? Aaron Gordon to the Denver Nuggets, Victor Oladipo to the Miami Heat, but even, you know, getting Nikola Vucevic to the Chicago Bulls, a team that's on the, you know, the bubble, pun intended, of making the playoffs. Do you think that there's a connection to them making those small but mighty moves, largely trying to slide them themselves into the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. I think the NBA won, right? Like, if we learned in the bubble that there was room for this play-in tournament and people's appetite for basketball, then on the other side, what's the other thing the NBA has been working for? Going back to the draft lottery, evening out the odds at the top of the draft, trying to do that, adding this on top of it. They're trying to curb tanking in this spot. You're never going to get rid of it all the way. Like, Orlando just stripped down parts. I think it's pretty apparent what they're getting ready for. But if you've got teams that are at all at a crossroad, and Chicago's the perfect example of that, now you give them a realistic goal in that spot. Whereas before, maybe you're too far back out of it. Who knows? Maybe we'll see them get closer, and if teams really play their way out, if that gap between those teams and the bottom becomes bigger, we could have an issue. But if not, you now give them a realistic prize, a tangible reason to go out there for all the added eyeballs, that experience for a young team trying to get into the playoffs. So, yeah, Shanae, I think the NBA is one in backing some of these things that they wanted to do to try and go out and create competitive basketball in more situations throughout the league.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look through the lens of Chicago, while they may not be, first of all, can we just be happy? Like, Chicago basketball is back, potentially. Like, you've got Zach LaVine, an all-star. You've got young stars, you know, in development. You've got Nikola Vucevic, who we all love, friend of our show here on Shanae Angola Jr. That is a bucket, an underrated bucket. This is creating, like you said, Junior, the right incentive. And so clearly they won, you know. And I was looking at this article on ESPN.com about winners and losers of the trade deadline. They noted Chicago. They noted the Denver Nuggets. But overall, they just basically said, hey, like, the fact that the NBA has created this sense of urgency for teams to win, I'm here for it. Now, I guess my only follow-up, Junior, is when you're looking at the playoffs, do you think that this is one of those things that can confuse teams? Like, as much as you get in the playoffs, it's still a great divide between a Chicago Bulls and a Brooklyn Nets or a Philadelphia 76ers. Is this sustainable? In my opinion, it's fun for the short term, but it's going to be confusing for teams to realize where they actually stand. Should we commit, like the Houston Rockets, this full reset and rebuild, or should we try to give people short-term success?
Well, Chanae, I think you can help us out with this perspective inside, especially a basketball locker room, just because of the way the playoffs are set up, because we all know this inside any locker room. I was on plenty of teams at Notre Dame. Like, we had the fun 12-0 year, but we also had 6-5 years when I first got there. And you can kind of tell early on through the season, everyone gets an understanding of where we are in the pecking order. You still on good teams believe you can go out, win any given Saturday, any given Sunday. But there's this realization, this moment halfway through the season where, all right, the glow of the offseason, you've figured out who your version of that team is going to be that year. But this is where it always came in. Bowl practice was a great equalizer because you understood getting to a bowl game meant you got added time to develop the young parts of your roster in ways that were going to mean a lot in the coming years. Coaches likened it to having another set of spring practices in that spot. And so you get that added time on the field for all of that. I think if you're like Chicago and you've got a young core and you've got a young team, yeah, you know you're probably not going to go out there and win the NBA Finals based on where you are. I think everyone's a little more realistic than that. But you can get quality developmental time in that postseason fire in a different brand of basketball that comes with that time of year that I think is extremely valuable, and this just opens that up to more people potentially.
And this is where we keep seeing the synergies between sports, right? You know, the NBA, the NFL, players are no longer waiting for their time to shine. They're trying to take the rock. And I think a great example of this is probably Trae Young, meaning he gets into the league. You know, a lot of people had criticisms possibly of his game. A lot of people said, oh, Luka Doncic, where does it stand? But like, still to be able to lead the league in a lot of regards with his scoring and his passing and all that type of stuff. It's like, okay, you know you have a talent there. Now it's how the other pieces sort of fit in around him. And Atlanta has been one of the better teams, surprisingly, of the second-ish half of the NBA season after they made that coaching change. But like you said, putting a core like that in the playoffs, at least you can better evaluate what you have for years to come instead of just staying in perpetuity, probably out of the playoffs. There are a number of teams, if we're going to talk about prove it years in the NFL, prove it years, possibly New Orleans Pelicans. Like, you have a really good duo in Zion and Brandon Ingram. They make the playoffs, which they missed out on the opportunity. They made the bubble for a short, you know, but like missed out on opportunity to really make some waves. All right. Like, now there's more pressure on those young players, or at least evaluators, GMs, coaches, to, you know, build their nucleuses. Or is it nuclei?
Nuclei.
Yeah.
This is an AP show. This is an AP show.
This is an AP, calculus BC, not AB, okay? Build their nuclei, and I do think that play-in tournament has sort of pushed people, like you said, because the NBA, we all know how it is. It's like, oh, they're, what is it, tanking? What do we have before? A win never for Trevor and all those type of sayings and slogans. It's so normalized in the NBA. Now I think the league has flipped it on its head. And it's more exciting for the players because, one, you get to make the playoffs, and more importantly, you get the playoff bonus.
I would say, when we always know, like, the players, like, it's the tired cliche thing that we have to say whenever we talk about tanking, but we know none of the players are ever tanking in these spots. But I always wonder from a fan perspective in these things, because you got to have a real clear identity if you're in this team's front office of where we're going, because there are going to be spots where someone overplays their hands and all of a sudden looks up and is trying to make a playoff push with a roster that has no business doing it. And if I'm a fan, I'm sitting there going, why aren't we bottoming out so we're bad in the short term and we can try and turn this thing around quick?
I will speak for those who are probably at the most bottom, the lowest point of the gutter, my Houston Rockets, and all I see on their timeline is fade for Cade. And we're speaking of Oklahoma State player Cade Cunningham, who's likely to be the number one prospect in the NBA draft. So yeah, when you're the Houston Rockets, it's easy. But when you've, I mean, this is a new territory for that team. There are a number of teams that have missed out on playoffs that are trying to find their way back. This at least provides a motivation for them to make the moves like we saw on a day in the NBA trade deadline where we had the most moves ever. It's providing the right motivation. So hopefully it'll spill over to the basketball product.
Fade for Cade. All right.
Fade for Cade.
You know what? I'm a fan.
Shout out to Houston for putting that out there on the social media.
The one good thing they've had going in this season is maybe that nickname and the slogan for a player they want to get for being really bad. All right. Coming up next, let's flip that entirely. Forget being bad. If you want to see the best basketball you're going to see all tournament, I would argue the premier star matchup, you're going to see all of March Madness. We got the location for you. It's on the corner of Clark and Buckets. We're going to get to that next. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
This is officially how we do it. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Shanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. My better half is pounding his chest and crying because this has been a long week for myself and Mike Golic Jr. And we have made it, amen, to the finish line. And we have to thank everyone that came through today. Our producer Shannon is actually smiling for the first time today. So I think he's finally relieved too. And we also have to thank our family who came through. Jordan Cornett, college basketball analyst here. You see him all over the ACC network, who came down to break down everything going on in March Madness, both tournaments. And, of course, Field Yates. We're glad that Cisco, his dog, is okay after his dog vomited on him as he had a live shot during NFL Live. He's our ESPN NFL insider who came to break down everything that just happened today with the NFL and also the draft picks. And in case you missed it, the San Francisco 49ers have traded up from the 12th overall pick to the 3rd overall pick in a deal with the Miami Dolphins. Now, Miami receives the 12th overall selection from San Francisco, a 3rd-round pick and 1st-round picks in 2022 and 2023. Now, the Dolphins then traded the number 12 pick and a 2022 first-rounder to the Eagles for the 6th overall selection. So overall, yes, I know I just said a lot. The best way to break it down, to recap all of this, is that the San Francisco 49ers moved up 9 spots to number 3 with their picks, while the Dolphins dropped 3 spots to 6. And the Eagles, they dropped 6 spots now to 12. So now teams are sort of feeling their needs in a lot of matrix in our heads, at least on the GIF. So once again, it's Friday. It's too damn Friday. Let's keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy today, we're not done, Chinee, breaking news and breaking moves here on ESPN. Adam Schefter tweets out that Sammy Watkins, former Bills and Chiefs wide receiver, heading to the Ravens on a 1-year, $6 million deal with $5 million guaranteed. So Baltimore finally dipping into the receiver game.
I was about to say, finally, like that's the big question we've been waiting on. And so at least they're trying to address it slow and steady. Hopefully we'll win the race.
And remember, it's going to take a style change. Marcus Spears, who joined us yesterday, our ESPN NFL analyst, said Baltimore ran it on 57% of snaps last year. If I'm Sammy Watkins, hoping that turns into a little bit more. Keeping that same energy brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. But today, I appreciate what it takes to be great from someone at the top level. We see so many coaches, especially players, that can be stubborn at times when they think their way is one way. Their way is the only way in this spot. Listen to Nick Saban, who was at a coaching convention, I believe the Louisiana High School Coaches Association's coaching clinic, and talked about the greatest coach of all time deciding to up and change everything about his style.
We have good defense. I mean, we gave up 19 points a game last year, and that was first in the SEC. 19 points a game. That's 6 points above our what we think is average, which is giving up 13 points a game. And it's first in the SEC. So the game is different now. People score fast. The whole idea, like I grew up with the idea that you play good defense, you run the ball, you control vertical field position on special teams, and you're going to win. Whoever rushes the ball the most for the most yards is going to win the game. You're not going to win anything now doing that. Because A, the way the spread is, the way the rules are to run RPOs, the way the rules are that you can block downfield and throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, those rules have changed college football. All right. And no huddle fastball has changed college football. So I changed my philosophy about 5 or 6 years ago. All right. And it was more than that. When Lane came here, we said, we got to outscore him.
Janae, nerds everywhere throwing up their hands in celebration that Nick Saban, the God King of football guys everywhere, is saying what we all already know. It's too fast and loose out here and the rules are too good for it. If that man can change, we can all change.
But the key is not doing it now because analytics is a trend. It's actually following those things years past, and then you see why the fruits of their labors were celebrated this season.
And also the key is recruiting 5 stars at every position and being able to get them.
Always be recruiting.
But today we have finally arrived at this moment right now, because when Victor Oladipo moved from the Houston Rockets to the Miami Heat, a funny thing happened. Since we had no idea a team within a team is born. Can you explain this to us?
So now the Miami Heat have 6 players of Nigerian heritage on their squad. And so if you don't know who these people are, I am going to, as you hear the vibes of the Africans on the Miami Heat, I'm going to pretend like I'm the announcer with a little seasoning, actually a lot of seasoning, especially eating jollof. And this is how I'd read the announcement of if the players come out. Are you ready, Junior?
Let's get it.
Victor Oladipo, Bam Adebayo, Gabe Namdi Vincent, KZ Okpala, Precious Achiuwa, and Andre Iguodala. That's exactly how I'd name it, but I sort of messed up Victor. Victor Oladipo. There we go.
Chinenye.
Chinenye Joy Nena. When I run out for the Sparks, I want to be like, Chinenye Joy Nena Ogumike. That's exactly how I want everyone to call me.
We are going to have to go back now and get friend of the show, Kamaru Usman, to voice that and get the LA Sparks to play that for you coming out of the open. That feels like destiny here.
Yeah, Kamaru Usman can be the new, you know, no, we like our guy. Sorry, can't do it.
All right, you know what?
Hootie, his name is Hootie. Hootie's got a job. But maybe for the Miami Heat, Usman would be perfect.
There we go. I'm going to say they're going to need it right now because, as you just heard there, you've got Team Nigeria down in that spot here. Hold down that kind of energy going into your weekend. We'll see if Spain and Fitz can carry the baton. They're up next here on ESPN Radio.
Hold my beer.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.